played that album probably 20 times this week, and there are some songs on there. I'll tell you, if you're in the doldrums, you won't be after you listen to that. It is just very powerful. I want to welcome our guests here, everyone. We just have a, looks like we have a fantastic group here today for the Sabbath. I want to thank Mr. Curry for the sermonette. Well, I wanted to go over something that I'd been studying. I'd actually had given the sermon in Denver, but I wanted to repeat it here, and I thought this would be a good opportunity. You know, have you ever read something in the Bible? You've got a particular scripture, a particular subject, you know, an idea, a concept, something you just did not understand what it said. And you sought for that answer to that problem, to whatever you had read, and time has gone on and you just had not had an answer to it. You wanted it, you prayed about it, it just did not come until maybe years later. You may have been praying about it, and maybe you had one of those aha moments, you know, where you, that's what that means. This verse goes together with this one, and that's why it says it in that way. Or maybe somebody gave a sermon, or you heard something that sparked an interest that really influenced you to understand something that you didn't before. You know, God teaches us lessons to His people in the Bible, those that are written, particularly different people. We learned about one of them through Mr. Curry today. He also teaches us through those examples in the Bible. I want to take you to a point in time in history, and I like some of those things in history, and the year is about 550 BC. The location is Babylon. The location is Babylon, and the person is Daniel. The person is Daniel, and he is having a vision. I must say, I've never had one myself, but Daniel has had numerous of them. Daniel has had several visions before this period in time that we're talking about, and most dealt with a future course of events and the ultimate fate of the most powerful empires of the world, but in particular is their relationship to the kingdom of God. The previous vision had occurred 2 years earlier than what we're talking about here in 550 BC. So the story of Daniel's vision of 550 BC is recorded in Daniel 8. And in this vision, he's being transported to a place called Susa. Had no idea where this was at, so I had to go on a venture and look where this is at. It's the capital of the province of Elam. Maybe you don't have an idea yet where he is watching besides this canal called the Ulai Canal. Susa was for a long time the principal resident of the Persian kings. It was located about 200 miles due east of Babylon. This will give you a pretty good perspective of where it was at. The name Elam in Sumerian means highland and originally designated the mountainous region that is north and east of Susa, which is modern Khuzestan today, the southwest province of Iran. So this Ulai Canal that Daniel was associated with was an artificial waterway about 300 yards wide connecting two rivers today known as the Kerka, K-E-R-K-H-A, and the Abdisful River, and it was located near Susa. So in this vision, Daniel saw a ram. I'm not going to go into too many specifics. And he saw it with two horns standing beside the canal. Suddenly a male goat appeared with a prominent horn between his eyes. The male goat charged the ram with the two horns. And in this vision, a succession of different rulers is outlined to Daniel. The male goat is going to succeed the ram. Much more happens in this vision. As I said, I'm not going to take the time today to talk in detail about what it portrays. It's not the purpose of this sermon. But in this vision, Daniel did not understand what he had just seen. He viewed it. He saw it. He didn't understand it. Some of it was explained by the angel Gabriel, who reveals to Daniel that the vision was for a future time. In Daniel's mind, he's thinking about a future time in his lifetime, but we'll see that it is for a future time beyond that. So Daniel's frustration over what he had been shown is expressed in Daniel 8, and we'll see this starting out in verse 15. Turn there, if you will. Daniel 8 and verse 15. He's rather frustrated. He doesn't understand this. Daniel 8 in verse 15, "And it came to pass when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euphrates, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand this vision." He's frustrated. He hasn't seen it. "So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." Sometime in the future. I don't know if Daniel understood exactly what that meant, but it was for a future time. Let's skip here to verse 27. "And I, Daniel, was exhausted and was ill for several days. Afterward, I rose up and went about the king's business, and I was astonished." The King James doesn't really give a good explanation of what this word astonished is. But when you look in the original words, it means he was dismayed. He was perplexed as to what he had seen at this vision. It was beyond understanding, so the scripture says. So Daniel did not completely understand this. He understood some of it. He did not understand completely what the angel Gabriel was telling him. It didn't make any sense. The nations that were to come into power were for a future time. He wanted to see things that were happening now, and he had some things that he had been thinking about. Now, 12 years of no understanding of this vision would pass. 12 years. Quite a lengthy period of time. Daniel has been studying the scriptures, doing his part to see if he can figure out to make sense of what is to happen, especially to Jerusalem and Israel. This is his focus. This is what he is concerned about. We know that Daniel was a man of prayer. He was close to God. He prayed continually. In fact, back in Daniel 6, it makes mention that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. So Daniel is perplexed about the answer to this vision. Still doesn't understand all that's involved in it. He is a praying man. He has sought for an answer. Gabriel has come to him and is giving him some of the input. So let's go forward in time. The story picks up in Daniel 9. In the beginning verses here, we can title, and if you want, I actually put this in my Bible, it's Daniel's Prayer. And if you want a title for the sermon, this is it, Daniel's Prayer. Let's go on to see what's involved in Daniel's prayer. Some time has gone by now. The time frame is about 538 to 537 B.C. And some interesting things have transpired since chapter 8. Babylon has fallen, and the precise date is October 11th, 539 B.C. The preceding year, Babylon had fell. Daniel had witnessed the fall of Babylon. It has been thought that Daniel had been taken captive when he was about 14 years old. He had seen some of the greatness of Jerusalem. He had seen the fall of it. He had been a captive since he was 14 or 15 years of age. And it's thought that somewhere around 605 BC was when he was taken captive. This is what tradition has taught us. And so at this time, Daniel if you can have this perspective, is around 81 or 82 years of age. He has been waiting for some things. We're going to see some things in this prayer of Daniel that I think are very interesting. I'm going to give you some things that we're going to look for as we read through Daniel. I'm going to list some here. You can write them down, and as we go through this, you will see them as I read this and as you read it with your own eyes. Number one, Daniel knew that he personally needed to be righteous. Point number one. I'll try to be a little slow here so you can put some of these points down, and as we go over them, you'll be able to identify it. So Daniel knew that he personally needed to be righteous. Daniel knew, point number two, that he needed to be repentant. He needed to be repentant for himself, but he also needed it for Israel and others. Himself and others. Repentance for himself and others. Point number three. He knew that he needed to be bold. He knew that he needed to be bold. Point number three. Point number four. Daniel strove to be a reconciler. Very important. He was a reconciler for himself and for Israel. Not just himself, but for Israel also. Point number five. He appealed to the will of God in a selfless manner. He appealed to the will of God in a selfless manner. You may think about how Solomon, when he was asked what he could receive from God, and he was very selfless in his request. Point number six. Daniel was fervent. He was fervent and heartfelt in his prayers. As we saw, he prayed three times a day. So Daniel was fervent and heartfelt in his prayers. Let's go on to point number seven. Daniel was humble. Daniel was humble. Point number eight. Daniel was persistent. He didn't give up. He had many years of waiting for answers. Daniel was persistent. And my last point, Daniel was always showing gratitude to God. Daniel was always showing gratitude to God. So let's start out in Daniel 9 and verse 1. Let's go through this and see if you can identify these points as we go through here. Daniel 9. Whoops. My stopwatch didn't start. Now I'm lost. Well, I'll watch and see what I'm doing here. Daniel 9 and verse 1. In the first year of Darius, which is 538 to 537 BC, the son of Ahasuerus, Xerxes of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. So, in the first year of his reign, Daniel understood Babylon had fallen. Now they are taking over. The Medes had taken over Babylon. This is the first year, and I, Daniel, understood by books, and very probable it was the Old Testament books that he read, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. This is the focus that Daniel is having. He is looking for the desolation of Babylon, for their time to end, and for Jerusalem to be restored. So the books that, Daniel read were the books of the Old Testament that were available to him at the time. So Daniel was very familiar with the scriptures of the Old Testament and commented on what Jeremiah had written, and this was a focus to him. So Daniel is referring to what Jeremiah wrote back in the 25th chapter of Jeremiah about 70 years of Jerusalem serving the king of Babylon. You can see how he would be moved by this. The 70 years had gone by. Babylon had fallen, and he's hoping for the restoration of Jerusalem back to the areas and the time that he had known of as a child. Daniel was now alive at the completion of the 70 years of Babylon's rule. Babylon had been conquered in 539 by Cyrus. Now that Daniel had witnessed the fall of Babylon, he realized that the Jews should be allowed to return to Jerusalem because the 70 years had ended. He's waiting for this next step of prophecy to occur. Daniel is excited to see this fulfilled, maybe return back to his homeland, and even more, understand the vision he had been given. So God had stated that the people would serve Babylon for 70 years, and that after that period of time, Babylon would be punished. And it's happening now in this first year. God had not specified how soon after that 70 years of completion that the Jews, before the Jews could return to the land. He was hoping it'd be immediately, but it didn't happen immediately. So Daniel is searching for an answer. And I'm sure that he had been praying and asking God for that help. You can probably relate to these unanswered prayers of Daniel and understandings maybe in your life. Have you had some things that you've asked haven't transpired recently? It's taken some time. But God does hear your prayers, brethren. Now, Daniel had read about the 70 years of Babylon's rule over Israel in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14. I'm not going to take the time to read through that. And he was hoping to see Jerusalem have a revival, be rebuilt, and it would be. It would happen. So let's pay particularly close attention to what Daniel does in the following verses. These are the focus of what we're going to look at today, the attributes of Daniel's prayer. Let's go on here with verse 3. And I set my face toward the Lord God to request by prayer. Daniel is on his knees by prayer and supplications. That means prayer that is earnestly applied with fasting, with sackcloth, and ashes. So when Daniel set his face towards God, he was facing in the direction of Jerusalem as he prayed. It was a common place for this to happen, just as he did when falsely accused and he was thrown in that lion's den back in Daniel 6 and verse 10. We know that if we look back in 1 Kings 8 and verse 48 and 9, I won't take the time to look back there, but the people typically had turned towards Jerusalem, towards their land, to pray in that manner. So Daniel prayed in the same manner that he had read about in 1 Kings. He also did it with great sincerity, with sackcloth and ashes, and with earnestness and humility and humbleness as he fasted. Let's go on to verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. So Daniel wanted to be right with God. First and foremost, he wanted to be right with God. He let God know that he was repenting of his sins, his personal sins. He is also asking for forgiveness for the nation of Israel, praying for the forgiveness of others. So God keeps his covenant and extends his grace. We know this to those who keep his commandments. Obedience is required, isn't it? When we search out the items of grace and having favor with God, obedience is required in keeping God's commandments. Disobedience is what caused the Jews to be taken captive and exiled into Babylon in the first place. It's what caused it. You know, John would later write in the New Testament, and I'll read this for you in 1 John 3 and verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because, stipulation here, isn't it? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So let's continue on here with verse 5. Daniel 9 and verse 5. He says, we, inclusive of all of those Jews that were there, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, includes himself in it, and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from your precepts. This word precepts means his commandments, God's commandments, and from your judgments. We find that there is no justification in the mind of Daniel. He's not compromising, is he? No, these guys over here did the sacrifices. I was fine. I didn't do anything wrong. He's including himself in the nation. No justification in the mind of Daniel as to why Israel was in this predicament. Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto your servants and prophets. We've had the instruction. We've been taught, we've been told, which spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Going on to verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you. Hasn't been in us, but unto us. We have confusion of faces. What does this mean? Excuse me. It means there was a shame upon their faces with a lack of direction. Confusion, if you will. As at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries where you have driven them, and the reason is because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against you. O Lord, to us belongs confusion in our face, that shame, lack of direction, not knowing what to do in the dilemma they're in. And to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because, he states again, we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We cannot condemn God for where we're at. He's been merciful to us. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. They told us. They've given us the information and we failed to follow it. Yes, all Israel, as we see in verse 11, all Israel has transgressed your law even by departing that they might not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. The chapters about the blessings and cursings. These have come upon them, and he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. Daniel is praying this to God. I want to reiterate this. This is his prayer that he's saying. For under the whole heaven have not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. The blessings and curses. All this evil has come upon us, yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Even in captivity, you would have thought that Judah would have woken up, changed, become something different. But they did not even turn to God when they were taken into captivity and when they were chastised and put in this situation. They did not learn even though they were cursed. Did not learn what they should have learned. Verse 14, therefore has the Lord watched upon the evil. God has been watching all of this. seeing it, taking note, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He does, for we obeyed not His voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought your people forth out of the land of Egypt. He's making a reference back to when Israel was in captivity before, prior to this, with a mighty hand, and has gotten him a name that endures to this day. We have sinned and we have done wickedly. So Daniel is reflecting back, thinking back about the past when Israel was captive in Egypt. You brought us out. You blessed that area. Jerusalem was fantastic. The wealth that was there was profound, with wealth brought from all places on the earth to build such a beautiful city. Israel had had special favor and grace in Jerusalem to have been brought out of Egypt. So when they had been taken captive, they continued to sin. Let's go on to verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray to you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Here was a city to be the example for all the world, the epitome of what should be here on this earth. And look at what had happened to them. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant, a request by Daniel, and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. So the hearing of God was one of watching as Daniel was striving to be obedient. God is hearing his prayer. Daniel is asking of God in verse 18, O my God, incline your ear. Lean down, hear, stretch down, listen to my prayer. Hear, open your eyes. God, please be observant in our efforts. Behold our desolations in the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousness. It's not because of us, God, but for your great mercy. Daniel is calling upon God's mercy to restore Jerusalem. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Pardon and spare us is what he is saying. O Lord, hearken and do delay not. We hope that it will be soon. That time, that 70 years of Babylon has ended. We're looking forward to Jerusalem being restored. For your own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by your name. So Daniel has experienced a waiting for the return of Jerusalem to its greatness and God's people to return to the covenant promises which they had agreed to. He wants to start afresh. He wants to get on with it, see if we can improve upon what has happened. In verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying, and all those attributes, those 9 points I was talking about, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God where Jerusalem was at, as he's praying this, doing it in a humble way, beseeching God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the earlier vision, and that's referring to the vision of 12 years earlier, quite a span of time has gone by. Have you asked for something and you've waited that long, brethren? Daniel waited 12 years for an answer. And that vision that he had seen was back in Daniel 8, verses 15 and 16, during the reign of Belshazzar. So, in the vision, at the earlier vision, it came to me, in swift flight. This is a response that Gabriel is having about the time of the evening sacrifice. So what we see in this verse is Daniel was praying to God, repenting of all that had occurred, beseeching God, asking for forgiveness. And instantly, in the midst of his prayer, he got a result, an answer. And we see here in verse 22, "And Gabriel informed me, spoke unto me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come to you to give you skill." Two things here. Skill and understanding. The understanding was to put meaning to what he had seen. Meaning to it, so he understood. He was given skill. He was going to be able to instruct, to teach, and make others understand what Gabriel had said to them. In our Bible, Daniel is teaching us today. He continues to teach us. And so that skill is given to us even today in the written words of the Bible. "At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you." Now, he's going to show him some things. There are some things that Daniel wouldn't understand, or all of it. "For you are greatly beloved, Daniel. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." Now, Daniel had been given an answer, instantly by Gabriel, interrupted into his prayer. Daniel had not even finished his prayer when an answer had come to him. One of those aha moments came to Daniel. An answer is given to him, and Gabriel interrupted to give Daniel the answer. Now, Gabriel didn't just nonchalantly interrupt and come upon him, but he instantly came to him, gave him an answer. Gabriel had hurried to give Daniel this answer. It was important. Daniel had an effective prayer, didn't he? An effective prayer in this. We can see by what the result was. It was fervent. It was dynamic. Daniel was pouring his heart out. All of those characteristics that we identified in those 9 steps that I'd given you are here. So by Daniel's example, we can see that we cannot neglect our communication with God. This is a prime example here. The prophecy is not so important, brethren, as the prayer that is here and how Daniel had instituted. So, even if you have asked for something in the past, don't lose faith, brethren. God will answer your prayers. Let's reiterate these points that we had gone over. What Daniel learned by what he had experienced over these many, many years. Daniel knew that he personally needed to be righteous. Daniel knew that he needed to be repentant. Not just for himself, but for others. He knew that he needed to be bold in his prayer. Daniel strove to be a reconciler. Not just for himself, but for others. He appealed to the will of God in a selfless manner. Not just seeking for himself, but for others. Daniel was fervent and heartfelt in his prayers. He prayed, as we have seen earlier in Daniel, and I referred to, 3 times a day. Even if he had to be thrown in the lion's den, he continued to do it. Daniel was humble. Daniel was persistent. Many years of waiting. Daniel was always showing gratitude to God. So, brethren, have you prayed and you're a little hazy in your prayers? You know, we all have these things happen to us. Not real sharp in your prayers. You seem to pray the same style of prayer. Same old prayer again and again. You know, in essence, it has some forms of vain repetition, doesn't it? If we do this, Matthew 6 and verse 7 tells us, do not use vain repetition. So it doesn't matter. We can just say the same thing over and over again. I have to catch myself in that too. So let's use the outline of Matthew 6 to just kind of put this together with Daniel. Matthew 6 and the example of Daniel. And you can input into your prayers some new life. Let's think about this a little bit. At times this helps me. Let's go back here to Matthew 6 and verse 8. We can kind of relate this and meld this together with Daniel's example. Matthew 6 and verse 8. The sample prayer tells us, be not you therefore like unto them. And the verse before that talks about the vain repetition. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. So God knows what you need. He wants you to ask of it. He wants you to ask it. But ask in a right manner. And after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven. We always give praise and glory to God first. Hallowed be your name. Think of ways to thank God for all that He has done for you. I don't know if my example is always the best, but I tend to be a big note taker. I've always got a big piece of paper in my truck sitting with me. I'm in the truck 8 to 12 hours a day, or it's in my pocket wherever I go. So what has God done for you in a particular day? Write it down. Identify it. Wow, God intervened in this way today. I was even thinking about how God has intervened in my life in the past. There are circumstances that if God would have never called me into His church, I don't know if I'd be here today. I was thinking about that last night. Give thanks to God for that. This is something to add to your list. Nothing wrong with reading off of this list in your prayers to give thanks to God for what He has done. Maybe protected you. Maybe watched over you, blessed you in a certain way. Something unique has happened to you. Write it down, add it to your prayer. What has God done for you today? What has God blessed you with in this week? We've had 6 days to go by. I suppose you can even include today. There's got to be a list. You know, it's amazing. When I start to make a list, I think, oh, there's not much, you know, to put down there. And I get this piece of paper and I list it. And I have a 4-hour trip to Casper that I make 2-3 times a week. I'll tell you, by the time I got to Casper, that list is filled. I'm flipping this paper over, and you'll be amazed as you make your mind aware of what God is doing. Let's go on to verse 10. He tells us, thy kingdom come. We want to pray for God's kingdom to come. We can hardly wait for His will to be done. Daniel could hardly wait for Jerusalem to be restored on this earth as it is in heaven. Pray fervently and earnestly for God's kingdom to come. I don't know about you. I'm sick of this world. I want God's kingdom to come. Matthew 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, it's the physical food that comes to it. But even more importantly, it's that spiritual sustenance that would come to us. But also pray for that spiritual help that we need to go through when we're tested and tried. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. You know, just like with Daniel. Forgive us, God, of our debts. Forgive others of their sins. We ask for forgiveness for ourselves and also for others, especially for those who have wronged us. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, isn't it? Forgive those who have wronged us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The basic outline that God gives us in our prayers. Of course we can expand. He helps us to not be in situations where you could be tempted to fail. Let God know that you want to be righteous. You want to be righteous before Him. In all of this, we cannot accuse God of negligence. He's given us answers here, hasn't He? Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Matthew 6, and throughout the entirety of the Bible. He has given us the ways to be successful as a Christian and help in our prayer. So God wants us to have effective and fervent prayers. God wants us to know that our prayers will be answered. All that Daniel went through, and he finally saw that, yes, Jerusalem was going to come back, but most of what he was seeing was for the future, beyond what he was going to live through. But even over here, I was noticing this morning in Daniel 10 and verse 12, if you'll read there with me. If you're already, you can turn there, if you will. So, God understood that Daniel had requests, and you can even relay this to yourself. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. Even though he did not understand completely everything, yes, there was some additional understanding given. For from the first day, you may say at the beginning of that 12-year cycle, from that first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words, Daniel, were heard, and I am come for your words. That's pretty amazing. God kept record over that. So, God wants us to have effective and fervent prayers. God wants us to know that our prayers will be answered. There are people in the Bible that have their prayers answered immediately. I've seen that at times. Immediately. I saw some of that during the feast. People's prayers answered instantly. But there are times when those prayers aren't answered instantly. There are times when, according to God's will, the answer is just not now. It may be later. We experience this in our children. They have many questions. The youth. Some can be answered immediately. Some have to be answered at a later time, don't they, for our children? If you are not getting the answers to any of your prayers, maybe the way that you pray needs improving upon. Change it. Make it different. Look at the examples of Daniel. Look at the example of the outline that we saw in Matthew 6. Don't be satisfied, brethren, with where you are in your prayers now. Don't think that, I'm praying okay, things are going okay. Think about how you can improve it no matter where you are today. No matter where you are. Determine to improve your communication with God. So, we need to improve our prayers in this mode. And I think it's very important. Matthew 5 and verse 6 tells us this. Blessed are they which do hunger. You yearn for it. You want it. Daniel wanted an answer. He thirsted for that answer. And they thirst after righteousness. And what is going to be the end result if you apply this, brethren? For they shall be filled. If you are truly after this, truly seeking to be close to God, striving to improve, you will be filled. It's a promise that God gives us. I think that everyone here would like to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Be in a closer contact with God, wouldn't we? We don't want to be further away from God. We don't want to be stagnant in the same place. We want to be closer to God. When things are done according to what God shows us in the Bible, He fills us with His Holy Spirit, brethren. Here's a physical example the Bible gives us. Solomon carefully built the temple to be the finest of buildings. Daniel, I'm sure, remembered some of this. The finest of workmanship. The finest of materials. Made exactly in the specifications that God outlined. When this was all done, when it was completed exactly like God had identified and wanted and specified, we find this. Let's look back here in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 8 and verse 10. Here's a building that's been built, a temple. It must have been phenomenal. All the gold, the precious metals, the types of woods, all that had been done, the craftsmanship. 1 Kings 8 and verse 10. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, look what happens after this was built like God wanted it, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. God did not just put a little puff of smoke in a corner in the temple, did he? Not just some little place. Well, that must be God over there. Some little puff of smoke. He filled the house of the Lord. In verse 11, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. So if we have our temple, we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And we be the finest of workmanship, applying ourselves like Daniel did and like that outline of prayer is in Matthew 6, then I do believe that God will fill our temple, with His Holy Spirit. Brethren, these are some of the keys to the prayer of Daniel and a closeness to God that we will get as we go through the days ahead if we apply it. Use the example of Daniel. He never did come out of captivity. Didn't get to see that. But he still had a focus in his mind. He understood that it was going to come in the future. So we could use that along with the New Testament example that we've seen. Daniel's persistent prayer is something for us to understand and see with a balance. It comprises many of the elements of Matthew 6. Daniel was given understanding to many dreams and visions. His prayers and requests were sometimes answered immediately, sometimes later, sometimes in the future. We can't be dismayed or discouraged if God doesn't answer us right away, but He has promised to hear us if we apply these principles of prayer that Daniel had, and what we've seen in Matthew 6.